You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Look over in Matthew chapter 5. Everybody's heard this. There was a survey done a few years ago of just run-of-the-mill people in America. 51% said the Christians they know actually behave a whole lot more like Jesus' enemies in the New Testament than they do like Jesus. In other words, 51% of the people surveyed said, no, we think they look a lot more like not Jesus. And when we look at this, especially in light of the last events, you know, one of the things that comes to mind about Charlie Kirk is that he was an influencer. Now, I don't know how you get to be an influencer on TikTok. I tell you who needs to be an influencer on TikTok is Danny Rayford. I mean, that's it, buddy. He would, and especially in them onesie overhauls that he wears, them sexy ones. Y'all hadn't seen the short shorts. It's a real thing. I did this at a conference, this very talk, I did it at a conference in Tennessee one time. And they didn't like it. It was a men's conference, and they really didn't like it. And so you knew, I mean, it just devastated me. Only time I'm devastated is when I mess up. If I mess the scripture up, that way I'm not rightly handling the word of truth, as I have been commissioned to do as a pastor and an elder. That's when I get messed up. But just think about the word influence. That's us, guys. And nowhere in history, more than likely, in the past couple of weeks, have you had an opportunity to be your own personal influencer. But that's what we're called to do. Matthew chapter 5, very plain. You don't have to look at this pure analogy. The truth just oozes out of it. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. Now, remember, if salt should lose its taste, how should it be salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled under people's feet. Salt is good. I don't care what all you high blood pressure people are telling me. I love salt. I ain't gonna stop eating it either. Can't make me. Salt's good. When I was a kid, Lee Brown lived up the road. He's 130, 40 years old. Still farmed with a mule. I'm 62, still farming with a mule. And boy, he'd cut himself. First thing we'd do, go right up there to the water hose, you know, the kind that kills Gen Zers. They can't drink out of a water hose. He'd go up to a water hose, sprinkle that thing out. He would call Lottie, that was his wife, Miss Lottie, get you salt. And he'd bring a big old package of salt out, pack that cut, and then wrap it up. John knows what I'm talking about. I did that once. Actually, I did it to my kids a lot more than I did it to me. Suck it up. Salt has a lot of change characteristics. Change food, it can change wounds, it can preserve. Like my grandparents had a smokehouse, literally, they'd wrap hogs in salt. So Jesus said, that's you. You're like salt. You've got to be impactful. And then he also said, you are like a light. You're the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one puts a lamp or lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Why in the world would you do that? You're a light. You're a lamp. You are salt. All right. I'm going to try to not have a revolt in the children's room. See, when we go long out here, everybody thinks all the children's people, they've had your kids 5 extra minutes. Some of them have already gone bald at that point. And guess who they get mad at? Right, Matt? They get mad at the preacher because they said, well, you went too long. I got my little clock here. I know how long I'm going. So I'm going to try to Ricky Bobby this one today and get you through it. But I really believe that this is probably why I irritated the men in Tennessee. I just want to have an honest conversation why a lot of you are not seeing much evidence in your life. In other words, there's a lot of people that don't want our Jesus because of our behavior. And I know I was kind of trying to shuck some corn last week a little bit, and I may have gotten to some of you. There's a lot of people that contacted me and said, oh, I got to go back and refriend these people that I unfriended. I thought, finally, I'm impactful. I got some evidence of repentance there. You know what Gandhi said? I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Woo! Kerry Newhoff said the problem many non-Christians isn't that they don't know any Christians. The problem is they do. I mean, are you Christian enough to create a craving in other people for whatever you got? I mean, I'm telling you, when I was in student ministry, you know, when I liked teenagers, I told some of them, I said, I'm coming. What's your worst period? Your worst period? Math, calculus, PE. I said, well, I'm going to come to Jacksonville tomorrow, Jacksonville High School, and I'm going to go see that teacher, and I'm going to ask them, I'm not putting you on the bus here, I'm just saying, I'm going to ask them, who are the real Christian kids that she identifies in her classroom? Oh, Brother Mike, no, you ain't doing it, no. No, I ain't going to be there tomorrow. Here's what I'm saying. I do believe, I get, there's a great opportunity now for pastors to be soft on sin, but we still have to hold people accountable. We still can embrace or endorse sinful behavior. And I'm just asking you, for the love of Jesus, to please try and tone yourself to a position of grace and truth. That's Jesus. He was the perfect balance, grace and truth. We're going to tell you the truth, but I'm going to be oozing with compassion, kindness, and love when I do that. Even if we disagree, it's all right. That's why I want people that are not Christians on my Facebook page, because they get bombarded with y'all at Crossbrand and the gospel. And by the way, good morning to our online people. But you know what? I think there's three or four reasons why, or four or five. I went to Quitman. I can't count. Why a lot of people are rejecting Christ, maybe because, number one, we may have made them feel a little bit judged. We may have made them feel a little judged. You ever go somewhere and know that people are sizing you up? If you don't know that feeling, go with me, looking like I look, to the suit store in the mall. It's just like some of the townies after we've had a rodeo and there's remade grass in the parking lot in little brown piles. Some of them townies go, well, yeah, oh, yeah. It's just like there's water moccasin there. It's poop, people. It comes off. But that's the way I sometimes feel when I go places, and God forbid that I should ever make people, you know, feel judged based on the way they dress, their tats, their piercings, their habits, their past especially. And I know a lot of you have been judged. Some of you have been judged verbally and non-verbally. But here's the thing. You cannot ask people to follow. You can't judge people into heaven. Does that sound better? You can't judge people into heaven. And a lot of times, I know there's like grandparents visiting here, you sense a deeper connection sometimes to people when you walk in the door because we just look like I look, well, like we look. I love it when the oil field workers just come here and they're just on break or whatever and they come, and the people in town, they come when they can. We're just regular people. And I wish more people would remember that in Christianity, is you cannot judge someone into heaven. There's a great story. It's the original Outsiders. Now, if you've never taken the opportunity, when you leave today, look at that painting back there. Chris, turn those lights on that painting. It's called The Outsiders. And It is kind of our trademark painting for Cross Brand. You know, it's just been, that's the original Outsiders. I don't know if you know how the story goes, but a woman, when she was seven, now she was in her 90s when she told the artist that story. But when she was seven, she lived in one of those trailhead towns. Cattle would come up from Texas, cattle would come from Oklahoma, and they would end up, you know, Kansas was typical. And there'd be thousands, tens of thousands of herds of cattle waiting, because even if you got there, you might could not load cattle until it was your turn. And so they'd be outside of town holding herd. And on Sundays, a lot of those cowboys would ride up to the church, but wouldn't get off. They'd ride up to the window, and you see that painting. They'd throw their heads back and sing. They knew that they needed community, but they really, really, when they looked inside, everybody was pristine in their dress and was very formal, and they felt so judged not to go in. That's the original Outsiders. Luke 18, here is the actual, the original Outsider. Luke 18, dude went up to pray, and well, two men went to the temple to pray, because the temple the setting was a little bit different from the way we worship, but they went to the temple, two men. One of them was just, I don't know what he did for a living, but he was called a sinner. So either something about his lifestyle or his upbringing or something made him a sinner in Jesus' time. And the Pharisee, the preacher, walked up on the stage in the temple and basically said this, God, I just thank you, I'm not like other people. Greedy, unrighteous, cross-brand people, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And I, you know, I fast, I give a tenth. Well, Jesus said, you want to know the one that's right with God? It's this guy. The tax collector would not, he stood back and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept hitting his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, that's the guy that I'll see in eternity. We can't judge people into heaven. So here's some suggestions. You ready? Number one, if you're that person that's real judgy, you see somebody with tats and you go, prison. She's 18. Still, she's been in prison all her life. No, quit that. Remember, you're a sinner too. And just because you're pointing out something on them, won't they point out something on you? Man, you all got something wrong with you. I got a bunch wrong with me. Thank God none of my family said amen. For you judgers, just remember, different sin, same sinner. Different sin, same sinner. You're just picking and choosing which one is yours and which one is theirs. Quit it. Remember to be kind. Why do I have to keep saying this to Christians? Some of you need your, well, I don't, it's Facebook, so you need your mouth washed out. And I see some of your posts and I have to go, I can't get that taste out of my eyes. Feel like I gotta go take a bath. Why you wanna be so mean and judgy? Don't, Elisa Childers, she said this week, don't, you know, when Paul, when the first Christian martyr, Stephen, was being killed, who was standing there? Who was applauding it? Somebody say it. Paul. Name was Saul then, but he changed to Paul later. Who was applauding that? Now, what gives us the right to think, and I'm just going to say it, if you're a Democrat or Republican or independent or just a weirdo, I love you, all right? But you know, there's been some people kind of celebrating, some politicians, right? And so what Elisa, she turned it on us haters. She said, well, does the AOC need to get saved? Did Paul need to get saved? What's the difference? Paul applauded a murder. Several of these politicians have applauded indirectly a murder. But watch your tone, Christian, because they need to go to heaven with us. If you don't like that, Matt, I guess we're going to have to do a class in basic Christianity that goes way beyond foundations, like you need to get saved, right? I mean, if there's nothing in your heart that has compassion on the people that are celebrating Charlie Kirk's death, there is something major wrong with you. That's not my No, let me back up. That's not the Jesus of the New Testament. It's not who I follow. Number two. One of the reasons we can't get people in our Christian circle is because we may have excluded them from that circle. Now, look, this is crazy. I'm still amazed at grown men getting their feelings hurt so much. I don't understand. What is wrong with you? Man. But you know everything. Somebody offends you at work. You all pouty around there. You're 40 years old. Quit acting like a two-year-old. Good Lord. Buy you a bottle and some diapers. So I know people get their feelings hurt. Saved people, lost people. I get it. But here is my concern, is that if a person that doesn't know Christ is basically, because they've been judged or whatever, they are excluded from any type of community, let's say church, home, whatever. You inviting, now I'm in the cow business, so I know a lot of heathens. When I was buying and selling horses, I knew even more heathens. You know, now you call them brokers. At one time, we called them horse traders, right? And I used to love, because I didn't have an office when we first started this. It was just in my truck. But you know where I did some of the best missionary work? Was buying people's lunch at the cell barn cafes. People I didn't even know. Having those conversations. You know why some of you will go in a restaurant? God forgive me for what I'm about to say to all you really ultra-conservative, really to the right. I think it's cool when Christians walk into a restaurant where they serve alcohol. Now, by the way, my dad, his definition of that is a bar. That's what my dad says. I can't go in there. There's many of you here that intentionally sit at the bar to eat your lunch so that you can strike up a conversation with somebody. Preacher, are you advocating? Yeah. I ain't taking it back. It's where you find people that need Jesus, and you've got the solution. Why are you excluding them from over here? Now, I get it. If you are the parent of a teen that's just had a horrible confrontation with your teen about hanging out with the wrong people, that's a completely different thing. If the people I'm hanging out with are exerting more anti-Jesus than I'm exerting Jesus on them, we're going to back up just a little bit. Just a little bit. Corrupt friends corrupt good neighbors. That's what good manners. That's what Paul said. There's a great story. I wish I would have ran this by Ian first. He's our resident hippie. Y'all seen Ian? Sound guy? They're always hippies. They're just hippies. Where you at? We got a guitarist that's a hippie too. Now, I don't look it, but it's oozing out of him. Where's Cody? I don't even see him. Where'd he go? Oh, there he is right there. We know who you are. Man, I went into a Pink Floyd trance back there on one of those songs. Thank you. So you will like this story. Ian will especially like this story. There was a guy years ago, 30 years ago, that was one of the roadies, one of the, oh, one of the technical engineers for the Grateful Dead. You know, are you with me? Grateful Dead, long time. And some of you like him, some of you don't, but here's the story. His sister was a Christian. He was an atheist. He had begun to wean himself off the road with the Grateful Dead and trying to settle down. His sister asked him to come to church. He's an atheist. Comes to church. They ask him if he would consider volunteering in the sound booth. And so that means he's in on all the meetings. Ours is an absolute comedy, our pre-meeting. I'm the only serious person in there. I'm the only one that can keep them on track. So this Grateful Dead guy is getting all this Jesus. And so one of them asked him one time, how in the world, you're an atheist. All the songs we sing, everything the preacher says, you are against. And he said, yeah, but I've never been to a place where I feel so loved and accepted. Months go by, guess what happens to him? You better watch out, atheist. He found Jesus Christ. And he followed Jesus. Amen. But you know why? Because someone said, we're not going to worry what label you got, how you identify, your past. What we're going to do is we're going to receive you. Now, we're not going to put you in leadership, but hey, we're going to love you, and we're going to embrace you, and we're going to be kind to you. And they call, you know, the Jesus crowd. And I tell you what, don't get excited. Anybody, Cody? There'll be a part two of this next week. I'm looking at my clock. I'm looking at our children's director, and I'm catching an eye. Now, whether you want to call it the lazy eye, like Bible did, or you want to call it stank eye, I especially read the language of eyebrows. And if you're a man and you don't, you're dumb. I just want to show you something. Jesus' people were sinners, tax collectors, the greedy, the prideful, the impulsive, the sexually immoral. Now, which one of those are you willing to have lunch with? Zacchaeus. I don't know if you still sing the song, but when I was a kid, we'd talk about Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Some of those songs, I mean, this is a grown man climbing a tree. Now, unless you're deer hunting, there's something strange about that to me. Where's Danny? Oh, he's in a sycamore tree. What are you doing up there, Zacchaeus? Well, I'm short. Ronnie, would you stand up? Never mind. We've got two examples of Zacchaeus at Crossbrand. David. Yeah, we know who you are. But he was tiny, and so he couldn't see. There was a big crowd because Jesus was a thing. And so he climbed up the tree, and I'm telling you, he was a crook. He's bad. Tax collector. Did you know tax collectors got their own category of sinners? In Scripture, you're going to find it, sinners and tax collectors. They had their own category. And grown man in a tree, no deer stand. He was very out. He didn't have any friends. Jesus walked by, stood in front of him, looked up and said, come down. And so he came down and Jesus said, I'm going to have lunch with you today. That's it. The story's in Luke 19. If you want to follow up on it. He said, Zacchaeus, come down because today it is necessary for me to stay at your home. Because Jesus included him, there was a feeling of empathy. There was a feeling of acceptance. And ultimately, I'm sure Zacchaeus got comfortable enough to have a conversation about eternity. That's all I'm asking you guys to do. Invite people into your circles that don't know Jesus. Invite them to ride to a rodeo with you. Invite them to anything. Just stop pushing away. Stop making them feel excluded. Zacchaeus got saved. Turned his life around. There was evidence happening right there at the supper table because you know what? I know who I've stolen from and I'm gonna get back to him. There's repentance. So I'm gonna close today with this. We're all called to be influencers. You don't have to be professional at it, but wherever you are, every parent that came down here this morning is an influencer to their mission field, which is called children. Many of you are in law enforcement. Many of you are first responders. You have an opportunity, an amazing opportunity, actually, to be influencers. So what is your influence? You driving people away? Now, let me speak to those of you, and I mean this. I am concerned that there are people here today that are the people on the other side of my talk. You've been the one that's felt judged. You've been the one that has been felt excluded. I mean, there's some of you here today, the reason you don't go down to YAs, young adults, is because you've got a story in your 20s and 30s. You got a story about something that happened to you at work, and all the Christians had their little huddle, and you weren't part of it. If you've been hurt or broken by a church or a Christian, you remember, and I'll speak to this next week, but I'll give you a glimpse now. I don't know whether that Christian was having a bad day or that Christian was not a Christian at all. A lot of fake Christians. But I want you to know that is not the Jesus we're trying to sell you this morning. And I certainly hope we're not a church like that. Look, when you walk through that back door, I don't care what you look like, smell like, your past, you realize, number one, you're God's creation. I love you for that. But then number two, Jesus Christ died for you just as you are. And this morning, I pray you'll not feel hesitant. When the prayer team comes down here, if you want them to pray with you, do that. But secondly, let's pray. Lord Jesus, if there's somebody that's felt excluded, if there's someone here that's been busted out, you know, just blown their mind how mean a Christian has been to them, I pray this morning you'll help them find some resolve. And ultimately, Father, if they are not a Christian, anyone in this room that's not a believer, that has not followed you, I pray that right now where they sit, if they want to, they'll say, Jesus, I'm a mess. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I admit it. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to change me from this day forward. In Christ's name, amen. Love you, family. We'll be talking to you next week.
David Ray here from the Christian Country Jukebox. I want to let all the artists know that we are offering a special package for your ministry. As you know, HLE Radio is one of the premier sources for Christian country music, and we have active listeners in 156 countries around the globe. Since we are ministry first, sharing the gospel through the ministries of Christian artists is our priority. If you want to share your story, ministry, and music with all the nations that we touch, I'd love to have you on the Christian Country Jukebox. Whether you want to focus on a new project or just let folks know more about your ministry, you'll have the whole show dedicated to you and your ministry to get the gospel out to the world. Christian Country Jukebox is a weekly one-hour program here on HLE Radio that re-airs three more times during the week. That's 4 hours of informing the listeners about your ministry. If you are interested in sharing your ministry to the world, you can contact me, David, at hleradio.com or Hunter at hleradio.com for more details and to set up a convenient time for an interview. I look forward to hearing from you and helping you spread the gospel to the world. Remember, keep it real, Christian and country.
Locally owned and operated by Benton and Brandon Broussard, Bill's Wrecker Service, located in Jennings, is a 24-hour tow service. You know, Bill's can tow anything from a small passenger car to an 18-wheeler. No towing job is too small or too big. With friendly, courteous service and expert operators, you will be at complete peace knowing your vehicle is in great hands. Bill's also has inside storage available upon request. So the next time you need a tow, call 824-TOWS or 1-888-518-3680.
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.